I'm just checking in. Before we actually begin, I actually need to do a bit of a cleansing ritual. Okay, it's both actually a cleansing ritual, and it's kind of an important thing because you guys are actually going to be learning magic secrets. Okay, so I'm actually going to need one person's help. Again, it's a cleansing ritual. What's your name?
Devin.
Devin, come on up here. Are you afraid to take a blood oath? Your head says, but your body language says. All right. No, nothing's gonna hurt. So I need you to just hold up your right hand. Okay. All right. Now you are gonna represent the entire group. That means if any one of them violate this trust, it's on your soul. Okay. All right. So, raise your hand. Just like you should have done this morning, but didn't. Okay. Put your hand out on the paper. Do you swear to hold all the secrets of the spooky magic that you're going to see? So help you whatever you think you believe in. Yes? You sure? Okay. If the spirits think you were sincere, you will have left your mark on the paper. If they don't, well, they're all in trouble. Okay? Well, in order for magic to work, you have to give a little bit of yourself. Sometimes a little bit of sweat, a little bit of tears, sometimes a little bit of blood. Lift up your hand.
Yeah.
Devin, you've represented the group. Now, if anybody watched the setup, maybe have any idea how that's done?
AB blood?
What's that?
AB blood?
No, much simpler.
Much simpler?
Yeah, much simpler.
Coated paper?
Let me get to the introductions, and I will actually give you a sample of the paper. My name is Chris Handa. I am owner of SpookyMagic.com and MDIM Productions. I am also magic director for Castle Blood. I've been with Castle Blood for 10 of the 15 seasons that we've been on, and both of the 2 seasons that were on television. I'm also magic director for the television show, and we try to have at least one magic effect or magic type effect that one of our cast will do. Sometimes it's me, sometimes it's Scully, sometimes it's even Griselda. But I'm responsible for working with the cast, finding the prop, doing whatever, sometimes even script writing. Castle Blood actually came about 15 years ago as a result of a magic trick. It was the knife through arm. Okay, that was used as a part of the stage presentation. That is actually the whole reason why Castle Blood ended up doing the yard thing and the haunt and everything like that. So when I got involved and they asked me to do hand magic for the line, as things progressed, we decided to start adding magic back in regularly, like I saw when I first came to Castle Blood. So I'm not the only one that does the magic. I'm not the only one that comes up with the magic. But a lot of the stuff has to do with some things that, you know, Ricky will call me and say, hey, we've got to do this. We're already working on 2 things for this season. That he called and said, hey, remember the thing that we did back then? I want to do it, but I want to do it bigger. Also, I do the line entertainment. I work, this is actually part 2 of the seminar, just so you know. Part 1 is tomorrow. the line entertainment part is tomorrow, and I will talk all about the basics of line entertainment and everything like that, because we're just going to do the magic. But I'm going to talk about how you use the magic tomorrow in a line. I will talk about theming and presentation and stuff like that today. Okay. And by the way, there is one of you that this won't apply to, and if you come by the booth, I'll take care of you in some other way here. Because you're all sitting here, okay, if you would like, everything that I teach today is actually going to be in here in the presentation companion. Okay, I normally sell these at conventions for 10. Because you're in the room, it's $5. Okay, if you want it, it's only 5. Okay, and I'll take care of you since you already got one. It is part of your kit. Okay, so okay, we'll do something else for you. Okay. All right. AB blood. Expensive. Requires lots more presentation or preparation for the presentation. I actually have an AB blood solution down there. It's not the official AB blood, but it's the little blood vials that I sell for $20 down there. You can get them. Sometimes it's heat, sometimes it's friction. This is acid base. Remember I said it was a cleansing ritual? I don't lie. Okay? Guess what's in here?
Some kind of powder,
yes. Okay. By the way, I this is a big, big mistake on my part. I should have this labeled in big letters. because I will tell you from personal experience, large, grainy, powdery substances, when you are taking them places and you open your bag and they see it in an unmarked container. Not good. I had to do some real dancing with a security guard at a mall I worked at because I had this. I worked for the Boy Scouts at the time. My Boy Scout uniform, a gothic purse that I use as a side bag, a deck of tarot cards, a balloon pump, and balloons. Okay. Device to aerate things, device to deploy them, everything like that. Fortunately, I got to the guy and I was talking really loud as I was coming to him. But all this stuff in one, because it was also when they tried combining the Halloween and Christmas seasons. So it was like November 3rd. I just gotten done with Halloween. I hadn't unpacked my Halloween bag. I'm doing a Santa meet and greet. Okay. Label your stuff in case someone else picks it up so they don't think it's anthrax. Okay. This is washing soda. Okay. Any type of base will work. When we did this in the attraction, we used washing soda and water. 1 teaspoon of 20 ounces works very well.
Borax?
Arm and Hammer.
Okay.
If you go in your detergent aisle, look for washing soda, not baking soda, anything like that. Baking soda will work, but it leaves a little bit of a grainy residue. Okay? Your hand might feel a little soapy, that's about it. Okay, and I actually have a way to fix that. What I do, if I'm doing a longer version of it, is I actually give them a damp cloth and let them wipe their hand when they're done. But, you do that? Okay? Feel all right?
Dry already.
Okay. It should be. It should be. An ammonia base works. The problem with ammonia is sometimes it has an odor. Also, ammonia gives you a nice, it actually looks more red because of the concentration. And I don't know too much about acid-base reactions, but it just seems to be more red. But it, because the ammonia evaporates, a lot more of it evaporates off the paper, and it does dissipate, and you will have much less of a print. Yours, Evan. Also another point, I'll get to that in a minute. Yours will actually last a little bit longer because the washing soda tends to adhere to the paper a little bit more, and you'll have a red mark. Okay. I used to do this as a line bit, where I would have a platter, and I would give them my calling card and slam my own hand down. And 3 seasons later, some kid would come up, pull out of his wallet or pull out of her purse. Look, I brought this just in case I needed it. Okay, wonderful souvenir. What we did in the attraction a couple of seasons ago was everybody had to take a blood oath. One person represented the group. They came, they put their hand on the paper. They couldn't get through the rest of the attraction unless they took the blood oath. And did that. The group didn't take the blood oath.
Now, what kind of paper is this?
This is Westfall. I'm sorry, yeah, West.
I just got notes.
I want to say Westfall. I think I'm right. Astro Brights. Galaxy Gold. Wasaw, not Westfall. Wasaw Papers, Astro Brights, Galaxy Gold. Either thickness. Okay, I do actually have some samples downstairs for sale. I'll actually let you have one of these to take home and play with. This is a card stock. The paper stock works just as well. I cut it in half because then you can get 2 handprints. Some people tell you, you can actually do it 4 times because you do 2 sides of paper, yada yada. Spray it with lemon juice, it'll turn golden red again. It's paper! Give it away! So I'll let you guys all here. Take that away. By the way, the cover of the books is made in Astro Brights Galaxy Gold, too. That is so... I can give an autograph at the end.
Take a piece or just...
No, take a piece, yeah.
Okay.
Take a piece. Yeah, I want you to look at it and hand the rest of the stack. No, take... Yeah, go ahead and take that. Okay. Thank you very much for your help. Okay. If you have any questions about it, go online and look up goldenrod paper. Okay, there are entire websites devoted to science, magic, and things like that. And Ricky has a daughter that is a freshman in college now. When she was in high school, they actually had one of her teachers use this as part of his demonstration. The whole thing with the handprint, exactly as we did it. Except it wasn't a cleansing ritual, but I get the whole idea. It's a simple thing. It's effective. For whatever reason, when they're doing it and they're in the moment and you're doing it in character, there isn't a whole lot of connection as far as the cleansing and everything like that, because it just feels like water, maybe a little bit of soapy water. Okay. Any questions on that?
when it dries, it goes away?
No.
No, it stays.
No, it is more likely to fade with an ammonia base, like Windex, 409, something like that. It's a lot of fun because if you actually spray, you get some cool spray patterns. You can do John Burton decorating on your paper. But it will stay. It will stay, yeah. Devin, when he opens it up, it will stay there. That thumbprint with the bloody mess will stay there for quite a while. Okay. Are you getting all this, by the way? It's going good? Okay. She is recording this. I ask if anybody, as far as recording or things like that, just do one thing, and that's please don't put it on YouTube, otherwise other magicians will kill me. So, but I don't have any hang-ups about taping or anything. Does anybody here do magic already?
Do what?
Magic. Okay, great. I know I've talked to Scott. I've talked to John. What kind of stuff do you do?
Card magic tricks. Pretty much any kind.
Okay. Okay, now Scott does some close-up stuff, does some instant stuff. What kind of stuff do you do?
I try some close-up. I have a few donuts.
Okay.
Sponge balls, some hard stuff.
Okay. I don't do very much with cards at all, but I do like using very sparingly tarot effects, just because it's a little bit different as far as it goes. Can I get a help? This is one of the fun parts. Most of my spooky magic is not something where it's like, oh, look at this. It's you actually have to come up.
Hello.
What's your name?
Katie.
Hi, Katie. How you doing? Okay, is it Catherine, Kate, Caitlin, what?
I am a pure Katie.
You're a pure Katie. Okay. My daughter's a Katie, but she's a Caitlin. But she is with a K. Okay, here's what I want you to do, Katie. First off, what I want you to do is give the cards a few cuts. I just took these off because 78 cards are a bit unwieldy. As many as you want. Eventually you're going to put them all back together. You work at Atlantic City, don't you? Alright, just to show you. Okay. All different cards. There's some major arcana, minor arcana in there, things like that, okay? Mm-hmm. Alright, here's what I want you to do. This is the important part. You can get something?
Darkwood.
All of Darkwood?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. I'm going to give you two choices now.
Okay.
Okay. One, do you want to be good or evil?
Oh.
Be evil.
All right, that's the first thing. That means you get to actually be first, but you're going to pick somebody to help you now.
Don.
Don, stay there, Don. Okay. Okay. No, remember, what we're going to do is we're going to find the evil cards, we're going to try to eliminate them. Okay, and then we're going to find some good cards, and we're going to eliminate them. Okay, and we're going to actually try to bring a balance. This is actually a form of fortune telling that I do with the blind here. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to push hand to hand, and I want you to tell me, just stop at some point, and those will be all the evil cards. Okay? This is why I don't use 78. Right there or there? This one over or no?
That one's right where you are.
Right where I'm at? Okay. We're going to turn these over, and this is the first card. Interesting. The IX. The nine of staves. Okay. Nines are generally not good cards. Okay. So an evil card that's a nine, that generally means not so great things in spades or staves. Okay. So there we go. What we're going to do now, Dawn, is we're going to start pushing over past her evil cards. We're going to push over some good cards to try to counter that nine of staves, okay? Are you ready?
All right.
Just tell me when you want me to stop.
Now.
This one over or no?
The one that's in, the last one to your left.
Yeah. This one? Okay, so these will all go over here. Okay. All right, so we have five of staves. That's actually good. Five means prosperity. Okay, five of coins is a pretty good card. Five of staves is all right. Okay, but a nine and a five, you know, it's really interesting. You need to actually have something in between the two of them to truly counteract. So what we're going to do is we have your future card here. All right. Between the nine and five, the only card between the nine and the five that actually means you're going to have good luck for the rest of your weekend is the six of staves. Okay, so let's see how go ahead, turn it over. You don't even want to touch it, do you? Okay, what number is that? Okay, and it's the sixes. Sixes waves. Okay. Yeah, give her a round of applause. It's okay. If you're a magician here, you actually might know what that is called. It's actually called the Balducci cut deeper force. Okay, and the old way that it was done was just, John, what I want you to do is I want you to take some of the cards and turn them over. Go turn them over. Okay, I'm going to put this back on. Joanne, I want you to cut a little bit deeper into the deck and turn them over. Okay. And whatever the top card is now going to be my first face down card. Okay, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to mask it in a little bit of three cups that time is the top card. Okay. Let's find a fun card to use as a model. What's a fun card in the tarot deck?
Hangman.
The Hangman. Hangman, there we go, that's a good choice.
Cool.
Okay. I just pulled death. I'm looking for the full one. Stars. Here's the Hangman. Okay. All right. Watch closely. Okay. Hangman is going on top. All right. I like using the Hangman and the Tower and stuff like that. They're fun cards. Okay. We're going to do the same thing that we just did. Okay. What's your name?
John.
John. Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Right there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Name again?
Robin.
Robin. I should know that by now. Tell me when to stop.
Okay.
Right there?
Yeah.
All right. First face down card, Robin?
What?
First face down card. What is that? Turn it over. Please tell me it's a guy hanging.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. It's actually upside down.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. That's why I like these two. They're written in Italian.
Oh, okay.
And, and the woodcuts are a little bit cool, but the whole idea is I know by spreading the cards and looking at the top one, I mark your card, I spot which one, so you can shuffle them freely. I'm just trying to show you, but what I'm actually doing is I'm actually looking to see what the top card is. Okay? It doesn't matter. Any even number of times I do that, every time I flip them over, the top card is always going to be the first face down card as long as I do that every number of times. The whole balance of good and evil works really well in line. It's a lot of fun. It was very cool to do. This actually is a combination of two things. My friend Rick Ma, who used to run the Haunted Chamber, wrote the book of Haunted Magic, actually showed me this and has given me permission to lecture and teach it. This is his version of it. Also, a magician named Jeff McBride does this actually as a full fortune-telling routine where he has them do the turnover, and he writes down their past, their present, their future, gives them a little reading on each card, and tells them to stop, and then he does his own reading. He gives them their predictor symbol at the end, and then has them do that. So there's a number of things that you can do with it. I'm not a big fan of cards as a performer, just because everybody does cards. But I think everybody should learn one card thing or two card things. If you're using magic, and you're doing a gypsy theme or something like that, using the tarot cards are cool. Find a good deck. You know, if you want to be fun, use the Halloween deck. I like using these because they look old. They go with my character, which is a little bit more Victorian. Somebody would use older cards as far as that goes. But find a fun deck to use. Cautions on it. If you're in a real religious area, you might not want to do that. Because there are people that are weirded out by tarot cards, Ouija boards, things like that. Okay. Personally, I am not. I'm okay with it. But we also have other cast members that I even have to think of when we do these things that have sensibilities, that are believers in their religion or in readings or whatever, and I try to be respectful for all of that. Also, you have to worry about the sensibilities of your audience. The story I told downstairs, I had two things happen to me within a very close time frame. One was the whole thing with the purse and the anthrax and all that. The other was I was doing this right around, this is after 9/11, this is actually 2002. I'm playing with cards and I'm doing it, and I turn over the first card and it was like King of Swords or something like that. I'm like, and the lady looked at me like, just like the sniper in DC. I'm like, okay, these are going away this season. It took me 3 years before I picked them up and I did them again in line because I just wanted time to pass. People will make connections, okay? So what we try to do with Castle Blood is when we try to do any type of effect that is a magic effect, we try to do something that's not going to offend their faith, their religious sensibilities, you know, things like that. We try to bring them in, we try not to, you know, insult their beliefs, basically. So just be very, very careful with that. I have a long caution in the book about that, you know, as far as that goes. So you know your audience. You know the people that are in your neighborhood. You know your target. Just keep that in mind. And Chris didn't tell you to use tarot cards for magic effects either. Yeah. How many people look to do any type of... what's the word I want to use? Any type of presentation where you are bringing them in and they see a little vignette or something like that. They come in, a little stage show or something like that. What kind of stuff do you guys do?
I want to do a seance. I haven't done it, and I've been studying it for years, but I don't know how to get around doing it.
Okay. If you go online... That's all right. If you go online, you'll find a lot of things as far as spiritualism, seances, things like that. You also find some things on theatrical seances.
The Houdini books are good.
The Houdini books are very good because just about Houdini, you know, according to popular lore, was born and died on Halloween. That's actually a little bit of a stretch, as I found out. He wasn't born on Halloween. He actually didn't physically die on Halloween. That's a whole, you know, Halloween is when we celebrate Magic Week, when Houdini, everything like that. That's when they do the Houdini seances. Also, if you look at movies like Nightmare Alley and some of the old episodes of Tales from the Dark Side, things like that, you will get what's called the Hollywood seance. The Hollywood seance is something that they have concocted to make it more visual, and it usually involves the room going completely black. And then some kind of big thing happening, either glass crashing or seeing something or something like that. What I like to do is I like to do what I call portable seance pieces that can be done anywhere. And I will do some things to detect ghosts or call a spirit or something like that when I'm doing a seance piece. Sometimes I will do the blood paper as a part of that, too, as an opening. Oh, the person was Chris. You didn't bring this. All right. Close. Would you be able to help me?
Sure.
Okay. Okay. I'd like to touch my dolphin. All right, well, look, quick disclaimer. Okay, when I do this, I'm normally in full costume and makeup. Okay, my character has to be a very presentable character for the public. I have to be approachable. Okay, but the further I get into the character, the more costume pieces I put on, the more makeup, the more aloof and a little bit snotty I become. I actually had somebody that supposedly does spooky magic criticize me for using the term child when I talk to young people. And I look down upon them and I talk like this. Why are you smiling at me, child? He's like, well, isn't that a little rude? Like, dude, you do spooky magic. I'm not supposed to be liked all the time, okay? So, just a little bit of, it's very, for me, it's very discerning, discomforting for me to be dressed like this and to be doing this. Okay, so I'm just going to give you a warning. I'm going to go into a character. I'm not completely nice about this. Okay. It's all right. Would you like to touch my doll for luck?
Sure.
Let me ask you again. Would you like to touch my doll for luck? Not a difficult question.
Sure.
I love it when they're literal. I guess I should have told you it was bad luck. John, are you with Joanne?
Do I have to admit that? Yes, I am.
I could have chosen you. Now I know why I didn't. Would you like to control Joanne?
Yes.
You said that all too quickly. John, point your finger at Joanne. Point your finger at Joanne. Turn your hand. Go like this. Keep going. Stop. Go like this. Turn your finger over. Go like this.
Cool.
Are you feeling okay? No, that wasn't very fair of me, was it?
No,
I asked you if you'd like to touch my doll for luck. I did not tell you. I took complete control away from you.
That's not good.
Not at all. Not at all. That was not very fair. I am, if nothing else, I'm a very fair person. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a chance to
get more
regain control. No, regain control. You take a hold of this. Honestly, nothing. No harm will come of you. You asked me what it was. Do you know what that is?
God, no.
It's a nutria pod. You know what a nutria is? It's a large rat. Side note, 50% of them go, oh, cool, 50% of them drop it. Here's what I want you to do. You're going to hold the nutria paw by the string. You're going to hold it straight in front of you. You are going to think three things.
Okay.
First, you are going to think swing. Imagine that it's moving back and forth. Just think swing, back and forth. Then you will think stop.
All at the same time?
Then you will, I would not ask you something more difficult. Then you will think circle. First small circles, then big circles. Think circle. Very good. Thank you for being patient. Take that. Right in front of you.
Okay.
First think swing. Think swing. You're getting ahead of yourself. Think swing. Think back and forth. There you go. Think swing. Very good. Think stop. Perfect. Now think circle. You're already starting to do this, I could tell. Think circle, first small, then big. Think circle. Circle. Are you doing that deliberately?
I'll never
get. Very good. Okay. All right, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for putting up with me for that. I find a really hard time doing that out of the process, so. This is the thing that actually people bring friends back. I'd like to be egotistical and say they bring people back just to Castle see me, but that's not correct. But when people bring friends back in line, they always want me to do the doll thing, do the thing with the paw again.
Does it swing a lot in people?
It depends upon the person. Sometimes they get it going. Sometimes it's just a little bit. The nicest thing about it is if I've got a group of seven people, you know, young adults or even adolescents, it doesn't matter. They all want to try it after that. And then I've got 10 minutes of blind entertainment, which is the nice thing. Okay.
How did you do these things?
I'm going to work it backward. I'll start with this.
Okay.
Okay. Does anybody know? Anybody do any pendulum work already?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a natural response of people's the way that they hold things. When you have something hanging like that and you think it, you can be concentrating on not moving your fingers or whatever else, but just the fact that the more you think about it, the more you're basically telling your hand subconsciously to move it in that direction.
I'm going home. That was perfect. All right. Yes, the fun technical term for it is called idiomotor response. Okay, but that description was perfect, so thank you. What's your name again?
Gabe,
okay. I should know that by now, too.
Sorry.
The long explanation is, and talking to people like Indrani about this is really cool, Rob's wife, because she's a neurosurgeon. so she understands this stuff. But it's called idiomotor response. You have two types of muscle movements. One are the gross motor movements, the big thing. And then the other things are the really, really fine micro muscle movements that do the fine tuning. The cool thing about it is if you do this enough, I can pick up anything with a little bit of weight, and I can turn it into a pendulum. I have a Blair Witch thing, I've got a skull on a chain, I use a watch, I use a pocket watch sometimes. I like the NutriaPod because, number one, it's real. It ain't no prop, okay? And I like the reaction, and the other because, it goes with my character. But working a pendulum, the whole idea is I'm really not doing the work, legitimately. I'm putting the thought into their head, so you're thinking swing, and you know, hopefully you're not going to do this, but your mind is going to send signals to your hand that it's going to make it move without you deliberately having to move it. And physics says a pendulum can only move one of two ways, back and forth, circle. Okay. Now, some people really get it going. They can do like huge circles. They can do, you can do clockwise, you can do counterclockwise, you can do forward, backward, side to side. Someone gets it moving in a square, run. Ain't gonna happen. Okay. But I have seen figure eights. Okay, I have seen figure eights. But yeah, basically a circular motion or an up and back, forward and back. The people that can't do it, and you will come across those people, the nice thing is they are so self-conscious that they will not let their brain do the work. And you can always pinpoint them and use that kind of verbiage. It will never work. Your mind is so closed that it can't, you know, whatever. Okay. Little secret. That whole thing about boy, girl, you know, ask the pendulum, yes, no. Guess who has complete control over that?
Whoever's holding it.
The person holding the string. That's exactly right. And I can tell you that I wanted a boy because I didn't want to lose my room when my mom was pregnant. I did the whole penny on the string over her belly, and it was swinging back and forth for boy. Okay. It's the thought of the person holding it. So when you are asking the pendulum, as far as doing that type of stuff, what you are doing is really bringing out what you want the answer to be. Okay. And I've had somebody up and down argue, well, no, honestly, my mom had three boys and two girls, and we did this every time, it was right, and, you know. Number one, if a pregnant woman holds it, okay, I am a believer that women have some kind of instinctual thing that they know what they're going to have, okay? My wife did, I know for sure. I do believe in that, so I believe that there is something just natural because your bodies are connected and everything like that. But beyond that, it's what that person wants, it's what the other person wants, whether it's a yes, no, boy, girl, whatever, as far as that goes. But it's a lot of fun. When I do things, when I do other routines, and it won't work, if they can't find a card, if something else is confusing, I will pull out something and make a pendulum out of it. Hang a key, use their ring, something like that. It's a nice little thing that tends to work 98% of the time, which is a lot more than some other things. So,
if it has more weight, does it work better? Or less weight?
Good question. I work outdoors. I need to have something with a little weight. Because if I'm using something that's a real flimsy chain, it's gonna blow in the wind. So it depends on where you're working. If you've got a lot of airflow in the room, which we don't today, if you're working outside or something like that, in a windy venue it is hard because what I will actually do is I will have to form a circle around me to cut the wind. And I will make a statement of, you know, something about blocking the wind or something like that, so that doesn't point to a method that isn't happening. That is a good question. It does have to have a little bit of weight to it, and you will find that some things work better than others. Man's wedding ring works great. Key on the end of a string or a shoelace. I carry shoelaces around in my magic bag all the time.
What about like a crystal or something?
Crystal, yeah. Heavy pendant.
That was my
question. Reverend Zombie's Voodoo Shop in New Orleans.
Of course.
Okay. It's just a dead animal's foot, that's all. Yeah. there's nothing special about it. It's not blessed or cursed or anything like that. It's just, they sell them as souvenirs. You can also get turkey feet, crow's feet, alligator paws, things like that. No.
Are you coming back?
But if you go, not, unfortunately not anytime in the near future. Because I do want to get some of these to actually start like reselling them. With, I have a couple of pendants downstairs. They're tarot cards that I use. I actually designed a magic trick where they pick their tarot card, and when they swing their pendulum, they look at it and they figure out that it's that's their their card. Mm-hmm. Guess which version I used to get them pick their tarot card? Anybody? I have a pendant that has a tarot card on it, and I use tarot cards. How do you think they pick the tarot card that they're going to? I use that card force. It's exactly what I do. Okay. The doll. I'm going to talk about it briefly. Okay. I'm going to ask you to turn this off. Thank you. Only for this bit. Okay. Thank you. As far as I've researched it, this is not something that's proprietary, which is why I want to talk about it. I'm not 100% sure. There was a trick years and years ago called the rising pencil. Okay, some of you are going to be creeped out by this because this is something that is painful, literally for me. Okay. Can you see that from there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay, the rising pencil, what they did was they stuck a pin through an eraser. I'll pass it around. Okay. I'll pass one around this way. Yeah, a little creepy, huh?
Is that spikes in it or something?
It's a straight pin.
Oh, you put that in your hand?
Yep.
Forget it.
Well, the reason why, here's the reason why it's off. Because this is marketed by two people, and I really don't know. The magician that is accredited to is long dead. All the credits that I have researched bring it back years and years. And the method I use is a little bit different than the way they do it. But you done with that one? Good. Okay. There's a number of ways to do it. These pins are also free moving. They don't have to be. I actually prefer them to be fixed. But the way that I have seen other people do it is they put it into the fleshy part of their palm. Okay, and they do it like this, and it goes toward them. The problem is, when you do that, I can't get a good anchor point. It's not 100% reliable. What I do instead is I lay it feet there. I put it in right here between my pointer and my middle finger. Okay, and yes, sometimes I do this as many as 30 times a night. Okay, it's right there, and all I need to do is move my hand just a little bit, and it will either fall off like it just did. Okay. Which I have a cover for that. Then all of a sudden everybody's pointing their finger at the doll. But with just minimal movement of my hand and a bigger movement of my arm, if I have to. Okay. You can buy these at magic shops under the name Okito Voodoo Doll. They're about $10. Okay. Some places won't sell them to children under 18 because you actually have to. Basically, it's a lever. Your hand becomes a lever. So it goes into, you can see the mark on my hand now, because I've done it two times. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So if
you're, no, I'm used to it.
If you want a blood thinner, then you're going to bleed.
Okay. Yeah.
Voodoo.
I was actually when Ron Fitzgerald, has anybody heard that name? The Brat Prince of Magic, he does a lot of Halloween stuff. When Ron and I were talking about this, and I gave him something with a pin in it, I looked at him and went, dude, if you know a little bit about Ron's history, Ron's diabetic, and not in the greatest of health. And I'm like, is this going to kill you? And he said, no, because I keep my hands clean, everything like that. That is something that, yeah, honestly, you should watch, either clean your hands or clean this or something like that.
Do it with forms of health, or magnets in a ring.
I did do it with gloves. The problem that I have with using gloves, which is totally cool, Scry wears gray gloves. The problem I had is it worked perfectly and it looked great. People thought I was hiding things underneath the glove.
Well,
but it's a good method if you don't want to stick yourself. Okay. Ricky's daughter hates this. She just totally creeped out that I prick myself with a pin every time I do it. She
also just put Neosporin on the end of the pin, too, to disinfect it every time.
Yeah, I clean these. I do clean them. I do clean my hand. I do watch, especially when I do it 30 times in a night. There are times when I know that I'm doing it too much, and I stop doing it. But the whole thing is the progression from me taking control from Joanne, because I didn't tell her a thing about what I do. And that normally, as a magician, I don't do that. Okay, as a standard performer. Okay, so she's a little creeped. She's a little unnerved. This is so much fun when the Blair Witch thing was popular. But, you know, the whole idea that I'm letting someone else do something, because you, whenever you say, well, you like someone else to control you, okay, immediately you're going to get someone in the group's like, yeah, me, you know, and I do deliberately pick on people that look like they're couples, because there's an interesting dynamic. Or a child to a parent or something like that. My doll back there?
Have you tried to make up your own kind of thing, like maybe some sort of wire that can go down between your fingers or something else other than sticking it?
No, because the method works for me.
Okay.
There are other people. Yeah, there are other ways to do that. And John is exactly right. You could use magnets. You could use. Did you see this up front?
Yeah.
Okay. You could use magnets. You could use invisible thread, which is nothing more than a fishing line that doesn't reflect light. You could do all kinds of things. You could attach a thread to the head and move your hand, and it will pull up. That's all cool. This method works for me. Okay. There are other things. You could put something sticky at the bottom of the foot and do something similar. Okay. But again, this method works for me. It doesn't bother me that I stick myself in the head every night. Okay.
You do it very good.
Oh, thank you. It's actually, I have had newspaper articles written about me because of that. I've been rebooked for gigs because of that. It's become a bit of a trademark as far as what I do. You know, people will tell me, well, just do that thing with a doll and everything. And in a school assembly, it's a magic dancing doll. Uh-huh. And, you know, I have the kids pick on their teacher or a principal, and I have to make them dance. Uh-huh. Okay. The absolute coolest thing that happened was somebody came out to Castle Blood to take pictures, and they did a story about me as a Halloween magician. And the doll, this was beautiful, the doll stood up in my hand, spun around 3 times and danced, and then fell. Did that happen?
It did now.
Yeah, because sometimes when you do something small, it becomes bigger. And when she wrote that, I was like, yes. Okay. A lot of the things that we do as far as magic goes, we doing okay on time? Okay.
How do you
think? Whenever I see a staff shirt, I worry. Okay. But we are getting close to time. I want to make sure that we can play the next. Yes, you may keep recording. Thank you. One of the best magic tricks that I ever did, and I've written this in 2 other magicians, was the night that I grew fangs. All it is being in character. And I'm walking up down the line, I'm using my cane, I'm walking slowly, and I turned to this group, and I looked at them, and I looked away. And I heard this girl go, "Stop!" Remember, I was in character. "Excuse me?" She looks, she goes, "They're gone." "What?" "Your fangs." "Child, you must be joking. I don't wear fangs. I am quite human, I can assure you. My character's one of few humans in Castle Blood." "No, you walked down the line and you didn't have fangs. You turned to me, looked at me, you had fangs. Then you turned around and they were gone." Phenomenal. Just like, did you ever see, what's that Stephen King movie where they're all in New England and they're on the island, and Legion, I Am Legion.
Storm of the Century.
Storm of the Century. That scene where he's walking down the street and he thinks he sees his kid and all of a sudden he has fangs. It was that type of effect. I did absolutely nothing, but I was in character enough that they just were creeped out and it was a trick of the light. When you do stuff like this with the pendulum and with the doll and haunted key and stuff like that, people will see more than you do, which is the best thing about doing magic in a haunted environment, because the bloody handprint will see, oh man, I just put my hand down on that paper and all of a sudden blood was gushing. Okay. That stuff does happen for real, and that's the cool thing about doing spooky magic, is it does become a little bit more spooky as the stories go along. Okay, we do all kinds of different things as far as the magic goes to bring people into the environment. We do stuff outside the attraction. One of the things I was asking was because either people are doing party or if they're doing what I call set pieces, where they're doing a little vignette, there's some pros and cons to it. You know, a pro is you give them a really good memory. Con is if you were trying to crank people through a haunted house, don't do it. Okay, because they'll stop. you get the reaction that you want as a magician, but they will stop. So then you need to do something quick and visual that's a startle as far as that stuff goes. Any questions? I'm going to leave you with one more thing, and unfortunately, I thought I had my setup, and I don't. This is also in the book, so I'm just going to explain it. I eat a lot of Altoids. So I've incorporated into my character. I even have, like, in-character mints. I have little coffin tins and things like that that people have bought me. If you go to just about any convenience store somewhere between August and October, they make cigarette containers. They can't call them cigarette containers anymore, but they got the little clip on them for holding them that are perfect for storing bins. I clean them out really good, and I put my Altoids in them, like a little coffin thing. Okay, but the Altoids containers are great because I will, when I'm working the line, I will have two. One is full of my Altoids, and I walk around and I pop mints. And trust me, that's for your benefit, not mine. That's one of my lines, okay? Remember I told you I keep two in? The other one, I will take the Altoids paper or another piece of paper, and I will light it and I will turn it into ashes. And then when I walk down the line, and unfortunately I thought I had the ash tin up here, but I don't, okay? And what I do is I walk down and I take a mint and I get my finger nice and dirty.
Yeah.
And I close the tin. And then I'm going to borrow your hands for a second. Thank you, Rob. Turn your hand over. Turn your other hand over, please. What we're going to do is we're going to call a spirit right now. There's an unfortunate soul named Ash. His remains were cremated. And Ash was cremated, therefore not being able to come back to his body and become a full vampire. And it's a very, very sad thing for those at the castle. So what I want you to do is hold your hands up, and I actually have the entire group, sometimes I'll do that with several people, just say, Ash, 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 come to me, Ash.
Ash, Ash, Ash.
Keep your hands closed, though, please. Ash, 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 Ash,
Ash,
Ash,
Ash,
come to me,
come
Ash.
To Ash.
More conviction, please. Ash, Ash, Ash,
Ash,
come
Ash.
To Okay. You get the idea. I will have the whole group chanting this, and then I will say, well, if Ash liked your request, and he will shake in their hands. And when they turn their hand down, you can open your hand. You're not going to see anything because I don't have it set up. Their hand will be smudged because I've marked their hand. Then I reach into my other back pocket and I pull out a handkerchief and I give it to them if they want to clean it off. Sometimes they don't, thereby cleaning my own finger. So that's actually written up in the book. It's a version called Ashes to Palm. It's a very, very common magician's trick. It's become more like a bar gag. But I've had people actually come so they could see Ash, too, in following years. That's written up in the book. I just want to leave you with that. It's a walk-around seance piece. I teach it to my cast in case they need to do filler.
You grabbed her hand, and so
let me show you.
Put the marks on her hand this way.
Let me show you.
But you said open the hand that way.
Let me show you.
Okay.
Hold your hands up. I want you to close your hands.
Ah, okay.
I use my middle finger. My middle finger goes up in the center of your palm, then I close your hands around it.
Okay.
And actually what I'm doing is when my middle finger is there, I'm actually closing your hands around my finger. When I pull my finger out, I'm smudging your hand a little bit more. Okay? I just wanted to give you that as a quickie since I didn't have it set up. I apologize for that. Any questions?
The bloody handprint.
Yes, sir.
That's only going to work with goldenrod paper?
Unfortunately, yes. You have to find the Wausau goldenrod paper. I have not found any other type of paper that has that acid-base reaction.
Okay.
But that's what it is.
Can't get a sheet of white paper.
No. No, and all the other paper preparations that they have, they're heat activated or things like that, they operate on a different principle. This is something where you go into Staples, Office Max, and your local printer, which I do, I order it directly from my printer, get a ream of it, you're good for a while. Yeah. Like I said, if you want samples, I have samples. And I sell them for $5 for a pack of 50. But I'm not going to lie to you, if you want to like do the homework and look for it. I've had people tell me, I've been to every print shop, I've been to every place and they don't have it. Other places, yeah, you'll see Galaxy Gold on the shelves by the reams. Okay. Any questions? Yes?
You do this outside in the queue line. How are you moving around with all of your supplies and logistics of that?
I am carrying this around right now, only because I'm trying to dish props and things like that. The pendulum I wear around my neck or on my hat. The doll is in my front pocket. The cards are in my inside jacket pocket. And the thing to get the paper wet is actually in a baggie. It's usually a sponge in a baggie. I just reach in and I squeeze it inside my cloak. Okay, I don't carry this around. The blood paper, I usually keep them in the other pocket just so they fit inside my other jacket pocket. I don't carry this around. Everything is on my person, either as a part of my costume or inside a pocket.
Yeah, excellent. And then when you do your pamphlet, you hold the paper for them?
Sometimes I will have people, another person hold their hand out like a table. Okay, or I will find a surface, like we have garbage cans with big flat surfaces. Okay. To be really presentational, I got one of those big metal plates at Walmart that they use for, you put candles on them, put votives on them, okay? Look like a serving platter. I used one of those. You don't have to. You can do other things. Okay. I see people waiting outside the room, so.
Some of those props that you had downstairs for sale?
Yes.
Jim Pace's The Web and the Floating Key.
Uh-huh.
As I say, if any of you guys want something quick and easy to carry around with you, he's got some great stuff down there.
Oh, yeah.